Tonight, I'll just tell you beforehand that it's more of a Bible study than it is a sermon. And it's a Bible study that I think will be a great help to all of us. I've often wondered what it might be like to go back and sit down with some of the great preachers of the past, like D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Spurgeon, and just ask them the question, how did you find the will of God for your life? How did you know God wanted you to be a preacher? How did you know that he wanted you to preach in the churches that you preached in? Because I think it would be a great help. If we could learn how they found the will of God, we could use the same techniques that they had. And then I got to thinking, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived on the face of the earth was the Apostle Paul. And we have a record of his life in the book of Acts. From the time that he was saved and until the time that he went to Rome, every major decision that he made, every place that he went, everything that he did to follow the will of God for his life, we can see in the book of Acts. And so tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, how the Apostle Paul found the will of God. And again, we can look at what he did to find that will and apply it to our own life to help us find the will of God for our life. Again, as I mentioned this morning, not being called as a preacher, not being called as a missionary, but I'm talking about the day-to-day decisions that we make. What does God want me to do today? How does he want me to set my priorities today? Where does he want me to go today? Who does he want me to talk to today? How do we find that will for our life? We know that in Acts chapter 9, Paul was on the road to Damascus. He saw a bright light from heaven, and in fact, he was blinded by that light, and he heard a voice from heaven, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ talking to him. And we know as a result of seeing that light and hearing that voice, Saul, as he was known then, the Apostle Paul, as we came to know him, was miraculously saved. And after he was saved, Paul wanted to do God's will. In fact, the first thing he said in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? And again, he had just gotten saved. He was a babe in Christ. His eyes, his physical eyes were blinded. I mean, he had just become a Christian, and so he knew nothing about how to live the Christian life. I mean, this was a man that had persecuted Christians. This was a man that had killed Christians. This was a man that had letters in his pocket on this road to Damascus to go into this to Damascus and arrest Christians and haul them back to Jerusalem and persecute and kill them. But he got saved. And he wanted to do the will of God. And so let's just look at the decisions that he made and talk about how he found it. The first thing that God wanted him to do was to go into the city of Damascus. He had a man there named Ananias that was going to restore his sight and was going to tell him what God intended for him to do with the rest of his life. And so God's will for Paul, after he got saved, was to go into the city of Damascus. So how did he discern that will? Well, the Bible says that some of his friends that were with him on the road to Damascus, probably not Christians, people that were with him to persecute Christians, the Bible said they took him by the hand and led him into the city of Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 8, the Bible says, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And so Paul didn't know the will of God. I mean, he'd just gotten saved. God's will was that he go into Damascus. And so the way God showed Paul his will was he had some friends there that took him by the hand and led him into the city. We know that while he was in the city, he met Ananias. Ananias put his hand on his eyes and restored his sight. And now God had something else that he wanted Paul to do. He wanted him to go back to Jerusalem. And again, Paul's just a young Christian. He's still trying to figure out how to discern the will of God for his life. And we read next in his life that he was taken to Jerusalem by some disciples. Some disciples that lived in the city of Damascus took Paul back to the city of Jerusalem. And so far, He's been saved. He went to Damascus because friends led him there. And now he's going back to Jerusalem because the disciples in Damascus were leading him back to Jerusalem. All right, what's next? Now he's in Jerusalem. Now God's will is for Paul to go to Tarsus. That's where he's from. So again, he's still a young Christian. He doesn't know how to discern the will of God for his life. So how does God tell him to go back to Tarsus? Well, we read in Acts chapter 9, verse 30, the brethren sent him forth to Tarsus. So, follow me. He's on the Damascus road. He gets saved. God's will for him is to go into Damascus. So people that were traveling with him took him by the hand and led him into the city. Then God's will was that he go to Jerusalem. And so he had some disciples at Damascus take him to Jerusalem. Then God's will was that he go to Tarsus, and so the brethren from the church at Jerusalem sent him forth to Tarsus. Next thing is that God wants him to go to Antioch. There was a church that was started in Antioch. There was a lot of people saved. The disciples in Jerusalem sent Barnabas there. Barnabas needed a helper. Barnabas needed an assistant pastor. And it was God's will that Paul be that assistant pastor. How did God get word to Paul that he was supposed to go to Antioch? He sent Barnabas. Barnabas went to where Paul was and said, Paul, God wants you to come back and help me at Antioch. And Paul said, okay, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to follow his will. And so I'll go with you back to Antioch. Now, I want you to notice, so far, Paul has traveled hundreds of miles. He's gone from the road to Damascus, to Jerusalem, to Tarsus, to Antioch. Hundreds of miles. And again, the way that God has showed him his will is with his friends, with disciples, with the brethren, and with Barnabas. I mean, he's a young Christian, and he's gone to all these places, but on his own, he's not made one decision by himself. He has not made not one time has he said, God has told me this is what he wants me to do. That word came to him, and he believed it from his friends, from the disciples, from the brethren, and from Barnabas. He's gone four different places, and that one time has Paul said, well, I saw a vision from God, and this is what God wants me to do. God used other Christians, more seasoned Christians, and again, I'm not sure the people on the road to Damascus with them were even Christians, and sometimes God sends his will to us via people that are not Christians. But again, he's gone four different places, and that one time has God spoken to him and said, this is what I want you to do. God has worked through other people in his life to get him to where he wants him to go. Now God wants Paul to go on a mission trip. And again, Paul hadn't made one decision yet, but God was ready to use him. I mean, he'd been preaching at Antioch. He'd helped Barnabas at Antioch, and God's now said, hey, I want to send you on a mission trip. I want you to tell people about Jesus. So again, we might think, well, certainly this time, because Paul's been a Christian for a while, certainly by this time, God would just speak to Paul and say, hey, Paul, this is what I want you to do. But as we read what happened, that's not how it worked. What happened is there were some leaders at the church at Antioch that God spoke to and said, I want you to send out Barnabas and Paul. I want you to send them out as missionaries from your church. There's no record that God talked to Paul and said, hey, this is what I want you to do. There is a record that he talked to these leaders at the church in Antioch and said, send these two guys out. And so Paul goes on this mission trip. The Bible says that in chapter 13, that they sent them away. So here he is. He's already a preacher. He's already a missionary, and yet he hadn't made one decision on his own yet. He has depended on other people to get the will of God for his life. He's dependent on his friends. He's dependent on the disciples. He's dependent on the brethren in Jerusalem. He's dependent on Barnabas. He's dependent on the church leaders at Antioch. That's how God has revealed his will to the apostle Paul. So they take off on their first missionary journey. They go to different cities. In fact, they were in another city called Antioch, and the Bible talks about a decision that Paul made there. In chapter 13, verse 50, the Bible says, "The chief men of the city raised persecution against them and expelled them out of their coast." In other words, in Antioch in Pisidia, they were kicked out of town. I mean, the people of the town rose up and started to persecute them and said, "You guys need to leave." And I believe it was God's will for them to leave. And instead of speaking to Paul and said, "Okay, it's time to leave," God sent a message another way and said to the leaders of the city, "Kick these two guys out. It's time for them to go." And so they kicked them out, and Paul and Barnabas went to the next city on their missionary trip. So now Paul's been six different places he's been, and he hasn't made one decision on his own yet as far as discerning the will of God. He's depended on other people in his life. They left Antioch and went to Iconium. And the Bible says they fled. Again, they were kicked out of the city. That's how God told them it was time to leave. And so he's been saved, he's been trained, and he's already gone on his first missionary trip, preached in many, many cities, saw many, many people be saved, and yet not one time has Paul said, "I've heard from God and this is what he wants me to do." That word came through people that God had put in his life. That word came from his friends, from people that he went to church with, from Barnabas. So they finished their first missionary journey. They stayed in Antioch for a while, their home church, and he and Barnabas got ready to go on their second missionary journey. Now, if you remember what went on before they left, they had a pretty intense discussion about John Mark. John Mark had gone with them on their first missionary journey and got about a third of the way through and got homesick and went home. He was supposed to be Paul and Barnabas' helper, but again, about a third of the way through their first missionary journey, he decided that he was going to go home, and so he left. And when they got ready to go on their second missionary journey, Barnabas said, "I want to take John Mark with me." Now, they were related. John Mark was Barnabas' nephew. And Paul said, "No, I don't want to take him. He left us on the first time. I don't want to take a quitter. I just don't want to take him." And the disagreement was so sharp between them that Barnabas took John Mark and went one way, and Paul took Silas and went another way, and they went to Derbe. That's the first place they visited. That's where he met Timothy and added Timothy to their mission team, so to speak. And then we come to the passages of Scripture that we read for our Scripture reading tonight. He wanted to go to a different place in Asia, but he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost. He wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. He came to Troas, and he sees a vision. He has a dream. And in that dream, there's a man in Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." This was the first time in Paul's life that God used a special calling to tell Paul what he was supposed to do. He'd already been to 18 different places. And yet this is the first time that God in a miraculous way said, "Paul, this is where I want you to go." As I study the book of Acts, I find 68 times Paul changed locations. 68 times he went from point A to point B. 17 times God used something special to tell him what to do. He had this one vision. seven different times, friends told him where to go. One time, the church told him where to go. Two times he was expelled. Three times he fled. Three times he was forbidden by the Spirit. Now you add all those up, they add up to 17. 17 times God used circumstances that spoke directly to Paul through different people, through his friends, through the disciples, through the church. And one time that we read about, he had this vision. So 17 times of the 68 times Paul went from point A to point B, God used somebody to tell him what to do. The other 51 times, when Paul went from point A to point B, we read of nothing special. Paul just decided on his own to go from point A to point B. The Bible uses words like, we departed, we sailed, we came unto, we returned to, let us go, and we went. They were come, we came, we passed through, we sailed away, we determined to go, we set forth, it seemed good to go, we thought it necessary to go, we set our minds to go, we thought it best to go. 75% of the time, 3 out of 4 times, Paul left point A to go to point B, and there was no vision. There was no word from heaven, no church, no preacher, no disciple, no friend. Paul just decided to go. Now what that tells me is I think about the will of God for my life, and I think about the will of God for your life, is that most of the time, to discern that will, we're going to have to decide on our own. We're not going to get a vision. We're not going to get instruction from a friend. You're not going to get instruction from your preacher. You're not going to get instruction from the church. Most of the time, when we seek to do the will of God, we're going to have to determine what that will is on our own. Now, I know some of you might say, preacher, you're way off base tonight. I don't believe that's the way it works. I believe every time God wants me to do something, he's going to tell me. Well, then you must be a better Christian than Paul. Because he didn't do that to Paul. 75% of the time, when Paul went from point A to point B, he just made up his mind to go. He didn't get a vision. He didn't get a word from a friend or from a church. He just made up his mind to go. Now, I want to make some observations. These are my points tonight. Number one, most of the time, Paul had to decide for himself. Most of the time, when we have to determine what God's will is for our life, we're going to have to decide it for ourselves. It tells me we better walk close to God. It tells me we better have the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 68 times he changed location. One vision, one miracle, one Macedonian man saying, come over and help me. Only one. Most of his decisions to go from point A to point B, he was responsible for himself. He used the mind of Christ that dwelt in him. He walked close to God and was able to discern on his own what the will of God was. If you're going to wait for a vision, if you're going to wait for a miracle, and God leads that way sometimes. Please don't misunderstand me. He leads that way sometimes. But it's the exception. It's not the rule. The rule is most of the time when we come up to a situation, we're going to have to decide based on that book and the time we spend in that book, based on the time we spent on our knees, based on the time we spent with the Father, based on how the Holy Spirit controls our life, we're going to have to discern what the will of God is. There's not going to be a vision. There's not going to be a miracle. We're going to have to use that mind of Christ that the Bible tells us to have. Number two, only one miracle, one vision. We only read about one Macedonian man that stood And Paul saw, said, come over to help. That's because God was asking him to go to a new continent. His ministry had been in Asia up until that point. God was asking him to leave Asia and go to Europe. It would be like God calling one of us to leave here and go to Japan, or leave here and go to Australia, or leave here and go to Africa. It's not like leaving here and going to Texas, or leaving here and going to California. God wanted Paul to do something completely different than he'd done. He wanted him to go to a place that he'd never been, to a region of the world that the gospel had not been carried. And by the way, if Paul hadn't gone to Macedonia, we probably wouldn't have the gospel today. That's how it got to us. And so God, when God wanted him to do something big, God gave him that special vision. Number three, nowhere in Paul's life do we read about a fleece. There was not a fleece. I mean, we know the story of Gideon. He was leading an army into battle, and he wanted to make sure that it was God's will that he lead this army into battle. And he was going with only 300 men against an army that by far outnumbered them. And Gideon said, God, I want to make sure that you're leading me to do this. I don't want to make a mistake about it. And so he said, I'm going to put out a fleece, some material. And I'd like you to make it wet. I'd like you to wet the fleece with the dew and leave the ground all around it dry. And the next morning, Gideon got up, and that's exactly how he found it. He wrung a bowl of water out of the fleece, and the ground all around it was dry. And Gideon said, now, God, I just want to make sure that I got this. Tonight, leave the fleece dry and make the ground all around it wet. And that's exactly what God did. The fleece was dry, and I think the ground around it was muddy because it was so wet with the dew. But not one time in Paul's life did he put out a fleece. We can go back and we can read about Abraham's servant when Abraham sent him back home to find a wife for Isaac. He came to the well and he said, God, I need your help. I'm going to put out a fleece. The first young lady that comes and I ask for a drink, if she's the woman that you have for Isaac, let her volunteer to give my camels a drink also. And we know the story. Rebecca came and that man asked for a drink, and she said, well, I'll not only give you a drink, I'll water your camels. But 68 times, Paul moved from point A to point B, and not one time did he put out a fleece. Number four, in the early days, others made the decisions for him. The first few places he went, it was his friends, the disciples in Damascus, the disciples in Jerusalem, Barnabas. I mean, it was a while before Paul started making decisions on his own. So, let me tell you how this applies to us. I hope we're all like the Apostle Paul. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I mean, I hope we get up every morning. We may not say these words, but I hope we get up every morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to spend my day today? What do you want me to do? Most of the time, God's not going to send us a vision. Most of the time, he's not going to allow us to put out a fleece. Most of the time, he's going to say, I've given you the mind of Christ. What do you think you should do? I've given you that book. You spent time in prayer. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I don't need to send you a vision. You don't need to put out a fleece. What do you think you should do? And that's how we're going to find the will of God for our life. I have 8 steps. I'm not going to spend any time. I know it's 7 o'clock already, but I want to give you these 8 steps, and then I want to make another comment, and then I'll be done. So how do you find the will of God? Number one, do you have spiritual leaders that can advise you? Everybody ought to have a council of advisors, especially young Christians, especially folks that have just gotten saved. If you've just gotten saved, you need to depend on other people to help you find the will of God for your life. Number two, what does the church advise? As you come to this place, as you hear the Sunday school lessons, as you hear the sermons, as you hear the Bible studies, what do you discern from those as far as what the will of God is for your life? Number three, is it forbidden in the Bible? If it's forbidden in the Bible, do not think that God has made an exception for you and is going to lead you to do something that he says, I don't want you to do in his word. Did you get a message from God? Sometimes he does send messages. It's not the rule, but sometimes he does. Have you lost your own will? If we're going to follow the will of God, we need to lose our own will. Number six, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us. Number seven, set a time to decide. And if you haven't heard from anybody else, if you haven't heard from your spiritual leaders, if you haven't heard, if you haven't got a message from the Holy Spirit, then you decide based on the mind that God has given you. Now, one other thing, and then I'm done, and we'll go. I would advise you tonight, don't make decisions if your decision maker is broken. There are times in your life that your decision maker gets broke. Don't make decisions during those times. Say, what are you talking about? All right, let me give you an example. I get discouraged about something. Some things happen in my life that really discourage me. That's not the time to make a decision. If I make a decision when I'm discouraged, I'm probably going to make the wrong decision. There are times in my life when other people hurt me. My decision maker is broken. I probably ought not to make a decision at that point in time. Look, if you were cutting your grass, let's say I was cutting my grass and I got halfway through the grass and my lawnmower broke, okay? I'd call Brother Clint and I'd say, Brother Clint, can I borrow your lawnmower? I need my lawnmower broke. I'm right in the middle of cutting my grass. I need to borrow your lawnmower. And I would go to Brother Clint and borrow his lawnmower. There's nothing wrong when our decision maker is broke with going to somebody we trust, somebody that, you know, that knows the Lord, and say, look, I need your help. I need to make a decision. I can't put it off, but my decision maker is broke. I'm discouraged right now. So I can't decide, and I need your help. So when your decision maker is broke, don't make a decision. Let me give you an example of this. And I was thinking about who to use, and since Wayne and Carol had such a good time yesterday, I'm going to use them to give you another example about when you shouldn't make a decision because your decision maker's broke. I want you to go back in time with me to when these two people first met each other. Now, that was a long time before I was even born. Just kidding. But I want you to go back. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't really know how it happened, but just play along with me for a minute. Carol sees Wayne and says, what a catch.
That's true.
She says, he's such a handsome guy.
That's true.
He would make such a wonderful husband. And so what does she do? She gets close to him and just bats her eyes. She's got Resist Me Not perfume behind her ears. And she says something like this, hey, big boy, what do you think? Now, I would submit to you at that point in time, Wayne's decision maker is broken. Huh? He ought not to make any decision when he's in that state. That's the time when he, some people in that condition, you know what they do? They make a decision. Oh, Carol, will you marry me? And they form a relationship that without even thinking about it very much because they're swept away in the emotions of the moment. That's a time when if you're in that situation where you say, I need somebody wiser, older, that's not caught up in the emotions of the moment to help me make a decision. There's nothing wrong with asking other older, experienced Christians to help you make a decision when you're in a state your decision maker is broken. Now again, most of the time when to discern the will of God in our life, we're going to have to decide. We can have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get a vision. God's not going to allow us to put out a fleece. It happens sometimes. I know I've heard some of your testimonies where you put out that fleece and God's answered you. But that's not the rule. That's the exception. The rule is most of the time to find God's will in our life, we're just going to have to use the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit to say, this is God's will, and do it. Now, I will tell you tonight as I close, I know it's God's will for you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to save you, I can tell you without a doubt, I know God's will for your life is to come to Jesus Christ. You can do that tonight. He died for you. He paid the price for your sin. And if you ask him, he'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the practicality and the instruction that it gives us. And I pray that we would heed it tonight and we'd be doers of the word, not just hearers, but doers. I pray you bless this time of invitation. If there is somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would have them come and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians, Father. If there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, help us make some holy vows tonight to get rid of it. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.